This is a simple game. You throw the ball, you hit the ball, you catch the ball. You got it!
Now, the show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. This is Boston's most listened to nightly baseball show, The Baseball Reporters with Tony Maz. Brought to you by Jordan's Furniture, Bing Y World Class Market, Brennan Smoke Shop, Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC and Electric, Ron Bouchard's Auto Stores, Advanced Auto Parts, U.S. Marker Board, Boston Volkswagen, Gravely Zero Turn Lawnmower, Foxwoods Resort Casino, Jackson Lumber, and Mass General Cancer Center. On Boston's home for sports, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
It's going to wrap it up. And the Red Sox survive the late rally by the Yankees to earn their first win against Boston this season. The final score in the Bronx, 8-5 Red Sox.
All right, very simple approach here tonight on the Baseball Reporters. Again, it's been a little while. We had a show on Friday from St. Louis as we were getting ready for Stanley Cup final game number 3 that was at that time. And then obviously we didn't have a show last night, so we haven't really had a chance to catch up on the Yankee series from the weekend. That's where we're going to begin. 617-779-0985. Jimmy Stewart, our producer, if we could open up the phone lines right away here. Jim Murray's alongside. So a couple of things. First, here's what I would like to do. Okay, because I'm going to be 100% candid with you. I watched the Red Sox on Friday night in New York because there was no hockey game that night. Saturday, obviously, I was compromised. I got a little bit of the Sunday night game as well. But the thing that I find most interesting about the Red Sox right now is something that Alex Cora said over the weekend, and this was all sort of triggered by a tweet from Ian Brown of MLB.com. Okay, Ian Brown tweeted something out earlier in the week that I found interesting, and to me triggered sort of a whole series of thoughts. But my opening question to Red Sox fans tonight, as you're sitting in your cars and you're driving home or whatever, very generic, broad question, but I want to know, because again, my contact and communication with you has been inconsistent here over the last few weeks, in particular, couple of weeks, really more than any. How do you feel about your team right now? How do you feel? I want to know. How do you feel about your team? You feeling good? You feeling like they're still going to come out of it? Or are you getting worse? I want to know. I'm trying to take your temperature on how you feel about your club and its position and its season, all of it right now, because I'm going to tell you how Alex Cora feels in just a minute. I don't think Alex Cora feels particularly good. Okay, so Cora said a couple of things over the weekend, Sunday night, following the victory over the Yankees. Following the win over the Yankees on Sunday night, he said a couple of things that I think should tell you plenty. Okay? So that's where we're going to start. I'm going to ask, again, Jimmy Stewart, our producer, if he would. Jimmy, let's play Cora number one. And this is Cora asked about the game. How important was this win for the Red Sox? Johnny Miller of WBZ asked the question to Cora. I think it was the first question he got after the game. Okay, how important was this win? Here is what Cora said.
We need to keep getting better. They're good. They don't stop playing. They keep going. They keep grinding, and we just need to get better. You know, for us to get back into the thing, we need to clean a few things up. We won today, but we know that we need to keep improving. Running wise, at bats wise, pitching wise, all over the place. We have to keep getting better.
So you know what you didn't hear Cora say right there? No, it was a good win for us. We had to get out of here without a sweep. I mean, that was an important thing for us to do. You know, always you take any win you can get. He didn't say any of that. He didn't say any of it. And you know why? Because he knows it would be bullcrap. Because he knows that winning one game in New York doesn't do any good. Cora looks at it in the aggregate. He looks at the three games with the Yankees and said, well, we lost the first two. We lost ground in the series. So now you want me to sit here and say how big a win was it for us? It wasn't a big win at all. All we're doing now is minimizing damage. That's all we're doing. We're not, this isn't about us playing well or anything else. We're minimizing damage. He's asked about how important the win is. And he ends up saying, we need to get better. And he talks about the Yankees.
Well, like he's envious of them in a way.
Like, really, Murray, and that's the right word. He talks about the Yankees and about how good the Yankees have played or how well the Yankees have played. right? That's what he talks about. He's asked about the importance of the win on Sunday night. How much did you need this win? He doesn't even want to go there. He stays away from it completely. And this is a quarter, remember, that for the most part has answered things pretty head-on. Okay, pretty head-on. This was a little more circumspect, like he totally avoided the question. Jimmy, just play the beginning of it again, if you would, just so people get the gist of it. Again, the question to him was, how important was this win to get this victory in New York? Go.
We have to keep getting better. They're good. They don't stop playing.
We could stop there. We have to keep getting better. They're good. They don't stop playing. He immediately starts talking about the Yankees. Okay, and again, and I admit this was all triggered from a tweet I saw by Ian Brown of MLB.com. And this was on, let's see, this was actually yesterday, earlier in the day, right before we went on the air in St. Louis, Murray. Ian Brown tweeted, listening to Alex Cora after the game last night and seeing his quotes again in print today, it is clear that he thinks the Yankees have the exact mentality his team had last year. Cora has to be wondering why his team doesn't have it so far this year. And if you don't want to take my word for it, again, Ian's around the team every day now. In fact, we'll bring Ian in a little bit because I want to get Ian's assessment of the dynamic between Cora and the team, because this is the first time, really, for an extended period that his players are letting him down. I always say to managers, if you like, and I shouldn't say, I don't mean, I say about managers. It's not like I go in and lecture them. But the message I like to deliver is, if you're a manager, remember, these guys are the guys that will cost you your job. However much rope you give them is how much they will use to hang you in the end. Okay, so that is the trick for a manager, to always remember that these are the guys that will ultimately do you in at the end when they stop playing. So you want to hold Cora accountable for the fact that the team wasn't ready at the beginning of the year? By all means. I'm with you. He's on the list. In fact, for the start of the year, he might be at the top of it. But since that time, they're now 60 games in. They're out of the playoffs today. They're 8.5 and out of the division. So again, Cora is asked, how important was that win? He doesn't even want to go there. He doesn't want to talk about the importance of the win. No. His message is, we got a long way to go. The Yankees are good. Look at the way they play. And then he goes through a list of things that are important for the team to get better at. There's a follow-up question. Okay, the natural question is, well, which of those is the most important? In this case, we left the question in. Go ahead, Jimmy.
Is there a highest priority in terms of stuff you want to get better as a team about?
Consistency, yeah, and everything. You got to do that. They're doing that. You know, you can see it. You see it on the at-bats, the way they approach a game, everything they do. And it's not cool to see, but it's impressive.
So again, he goes right to the Yankees again. You know, is there a priority on those lists of things that you want to get better at? Yeah, consistency at everything. At everything. Look at them. Look at the way they're doing it. Look at every at-bat that they're giving up there at the plate.
He really does. He sounds envious. Look how locked in they are. So it's what that sounds like, because that's been one of the, or if not the biggest issues with this Red Sox team this year.
Murray, I said this at the beginning of the year, and this isn't an I told you so. Okay, this is more about when you're a professional athlete and you have to play every year, okay, and you're getting paid handsomely to do it, but the money's got nothing to do with it, at least not with regard to this. At the beginning, guys play for their contracts. That's what they play for, because they don't make the big money and they want the contracts. Otherwise, they want to play to win, right? First, it's sort of about proving yourself and that you belong in the big leagues. Then it's about proving that you can really make some money and do well. And then after that, you reach a point where you say, you know what? I'm 31 years old. I'm number one. I want to win a championship now. The money doesn't mean so much. I have the money. I've proven I can play. Now I want to win. I want to win. That's what I want. It's all about the mindset. When you have the mindset of, I want to win, winning is most important. We are out to disprove people. That motivation, it makes all the difference in the world. It makes a difference in every sport, every single one, maybe as much or more in baseball, just because of the sheer length of the season and how meaningless some of the games are, relatively speaking. So it really takes a lot of discipline to stay focused and produce and win year in and year out. It's hard. I think that's the number one difference in the Red Sox last year. The roster hasn't changed that much. The manager hasn't changed. But here they are plodding along at 500 because they won their title and a lot of guys have made their money. And even the guys that haven't hit free agency yet, Mookie Betts, are making $20 million a year. So they've all got their dough. Now the championship's not important to them anymore. Meanwhile, the Yankees, 2 years ago they got to the LCS and lost. Last year was a disappointment. They thought it would be easy. They thought the next step would be a championship. It wasn't because the Red Sox were hungrier and kicked their ass. So now the Yankees are coming in and they're dialed in. They're focused. They're intense. They're not giving away at bats. And you know what's happening? They're winning a lot of ball games, even with their lineup decimated by injury. So again, you tell me what's the difference. And it's the mindset. Alex Cora is pissed at the mindset and attitude of his team. He just doesn't want to come out and say it because he doesn't want to alienate his players. So what does he do? He praises the Yankees. Look at the way they're playing. You know who he sounds like? Brad Stevens. Brad Stevens talking about the Indiana Pacers. Or am I wrong, Murray?
No, not at all.
That's who he sounds like, Brad Stevens.
And in terms of how the Red Sox have underachieved, they're a lot like this year's Celtics team.
So now they're not as despicable.
That's fair.
Right, because there's not the infighting and there's not the Kyrie element and there isn't all of that. But Brad Stevens at time would talk about the opposition. Right? Or Kyrie, when he was asked, remember about Stevens? Or the Clippers would talk about Doc Rivers.
Sure.
And you knew that was just shot at Stevens. It's always like a passive-aggressive approach. This is what Cora's doing with the Red Sox. It's a passive-aggressive approach. What'd you think? That was a big win, wasn't it? Yeah, you know, we got to keep getting better. I mean, the Yankees are playing hard over there. They're digging in every night. He's talking about his own team. He's ripping his own team. Subtly, albeit. But that's what he's doing. He's pointing out what his team is not doing by focusing on what the Yankees are. Tom's in Quincy. Again, 617-779-0985. Sorry to go so long on that. I just feel, honestly, very strongly about it. I think Cora is very frustrated. He's very frustrated with his team, Tom. Go ahead.
Yes, he is, and deservedly so, Tony. Listen, the season so far has been so frustrating. As you know, we've talked a bunch of times about it. They need to get back to what they did last year, which was kicking the ever-living snot out of suck teams. And they haven't done that so far. But they have the opportunity to do that coming up in the next couple of weeks, minus Tampa and Texas, okay? They got Kansas City this week. They should sweep. They got four against Tampa. You should split, hopefully. You got four against Texas, which you should win the series. And then you got Baltimore. Combined between those two, bookending the Tampa and Texas, they're almost 50 games under 500. There is no reason why a team as talented as the Red Sox are this year that they shouldn't steamroll those awful teams. They have not been able to do it this year for whatever reason. I think it's a lot of what you say. They won last year, no big friggin' deal. We can go do this whenever we want. And that obviously hasn't turned out to be the case. But I think that if they can start doing that and playing competitive baseball against the better teams in the league, you split series, two out of three, stuff like that, and I can see the season turning around.
So, Tom,
I don't know what the hell they're going to do when the Yankees get their health back, though.
Okay, so, Tom, I'll tell you what. This is Alex Spear of the Globe wrote this a little while ago, and this was an excellent point. The Red Sox missed their chance earlier in the year. They missed their chance. They played bad teams, and they didn't win enough. So the bad start was really doubly hurtful because on the one hand, you were 6-13 or whatever the hell you were after 19 games, which is 7 games under, and you were playing bad teams at the time, which means you should have been 5 or 6 over. So that 7 under, that 6-13, really was more like 12 or 13 under because you were playing such dog food competition. Again, 617-779-0985. Tom mentioned the schedule. We'll touch on that. I also want to bring in Ian Brown. He was in the clubhouse in New York over the weekend, and I want to let's talk to him and get some real assessment of what Alex Cora is feeling and saying, even maybe behind the scenes, maybe publicly, the whole vibe around the Red Sox. We'll get
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top five Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
This is the Baseball Reporters.
Which makes all the sense in the world if you're the Red Sox.
With Tony Mazzarotti, 98.5, the Sports Hub.
2-2. Swung on. A long drive to right center field. That ball is high. It is far. It is gone. Gary Sanchez goes the opposite way into the Yankee bullpen. The Sanchino. He drills a two-run home run. Oh, that Gary is scary. A two-run blast. And the Yankees take a 5-3 lead.
That was the big blow from the game on Saturday, a Yankees win. Gary Sanchez, he's woken up. He showed up in shape this year. He was ready to go after a bad year last year. Again, mindset. Mindset. Gary Sanchez could use a new nickname other than the Sanchino, Murray. You got any ideas?
How about, if Brady's going to take Tom Terrific, how about Sanchez can be Big Poppy?
Huh, I like it. Seriously. Oh, God. Oh, we can't be penize enough on this business from 2 to 7 here, can we? Seriously. Jimmy, how do you feel about calling Gary Sanchez Big Pappy?
Works for me.
I think he should trademark it. I think he should. I think he should trademark Big Pappy. That's what he should do.
And considering what a phenom that Aaron Judge is there in right field, who could he be? What's a good nickname for him?
How about the kid?
I like it.
you know that he is kind of a tall fella. Maybe like feeling, you know, sort of what goes with Splinter.
Splendid.
The splendid yeah. Splinter. I like it. Aaron Judge, the splendid splinter.
How about call him the Mick?
That'll work too. Sure, whatever works. Before we get back to your call, before we get to Ian Brown of MLB, just quickly, caller number 10 right now to the Pride Motor Group contest line. You will get a $100 Bertucci's gift card. And you've heard me say this, Bertucci's now delivers to your home or office. You can start at Bertucci's.com. Bertucci's Brick Oven Pizza and Pasta, the official pizza of baseball fans. Again, the Pride Motor Group contest line, 617-931-0985. You'll get a $100 Bertucci's gift card right now. With that said, let's bring in Ian Brown of MLB.com because I'm curious as to, again, I told you sort of the whole approach of tonight's show was largely triggered by something Ian tweeted out yesterday regarding Alex Cora's comments following the win against the Yankees on Sunday night. And Ian, from your standpoint, you think Cora actually was looking across the field and said, you know, the Yankees are what we were last year.
Yeah, exactly. He was looking at these guys and it was kind of like he had an epiphany. Like, this is what we were doing last year. We were grinding out every single at bat. We were making tough pitches when we had to. We were playing smart on the bases. We weren't doing making some of the dumb base running moves they made this weekend. They weren't playing sloppy like the Red Sox have been on defense at times this year. Mentally and physically, I think he sees he looks at the Yankee team, and not that the Yankees are going to win 108 games, but he does see a lot of similarities in the way that they play the game. They're relentless with their approach, and frankly, Alex just is not seeing that with this year's Red Sox team.
So, Ian, do you think he's frustrated? Like, do you think he's frustrated with his own team? Because Cora keeps saying over and over, I'm not going to do anything different. I'm going to continue to do the things I do. And yet, comments like the ones he made on Sunday night do lead you to believe that he's getting frustrated with the fact that they can't get on any kind of roll.
Yeah, I think Tony, look at the last three, really four series, I guess you could say, against the good teams here. The two Houston series, the two Cleveland series, and this Yankee series. I believe they lost the first two games in all four of those series. And then they had to win. The last game just to save face, and that's not a good look for a team that wants to play deep into October. I do think that, for the first time this year, I do think he's getting frustrated. To me, the interesting thing is, we texted a little bit, Tony, today, me and you, is that he said these things after a win, You know, I could see him saying after a loss, but, you know, after a win, he's kind of marveling at the way the Yankees are playing. And you saw them almost come roaring back in that game against Matt Barnes, who was getting flustered by the wet mound or, you know, whatever was going on there in that eighth inning the other night. And so, yeah, I just think that, you know, he's wondering why this can't come together because he's looking at all the same guys, you know, except for Kimbrel. That was obviously a significant loss. But it's pretty much, aside from that, the same team. And he can't get the same results. And I think that he's frustrated.
So, Ian, what does he do to snap him out of it? Is there anything he can do to snap him out of it?
Yeah, I mean, I don't know if there's you know, he's already said he's not the type of guy who's going to just flip over the clubhouse spread and all that. So I think that all he can do is keep talking to these guys, keep trying to do what he does behind the scenes to tell them, you know, they need to get after it a little bit more. And Tony, I also felt that Rick Porcello said some things after his start on Saturday night where he's like, all 25 of us have to kind of bring it every single night, every single inning. I kind of sense frustration. Rick was a real leader in that team, by the way. I think that he is a little frustrated that they're just not playing more consistently. And I think it's almost like, are we playing with the same passion and energy that we did a year ago? You know, you can't control everything that happens from a physical standpoint, Tony, but you can control the way you approach the game. And I think that, you know, there's a tendency maybe to let down. It's a natural tendency to let down after you win the World Series. And some of these guys, whether it's Cora, whether it's Porcello, we can't do that. If we want to get back to where we were last year, need to bring the same energy every single game.
Yeah, I mean, Ian, really, it is stunning that they're at this stage. Right now, they're out of the playoffs. Not that you need me to tell you that. And, you know, you talk about some of the most underachieving teams in Major League Baseball. I there's no question to me that the Red Sox are, if they're not at the top of the list, they're near the top of the list. And I have a hard time coming up with anybody who's been more disappointing than the Red Sox. How about you?
Yeah, no, I was actually watching a West Coast game the other night after the Sox. It was like the Mets and the Diamondbacks, and they showed the records, and I'm like, my God, these two teams have like almost the same record as the Red Sox. And that's just ridiculous if you look at those two teams. What they have from a talent standpoint on their rosters compared to the Red Sox, that the Red Sox would have, you know, a very similar record to two teams like that. Yeah, I can't think of a team that's underachieved this year more than the Red Sox. And it's really hard to believe when you look at it, when you look at all the talent. Unless we just vastly overrated all the talent that's on this team, to me it's hard to believe.
Yeah, all right, Ian, listen, thanks for the time. As always, we appreciate having you on.
Anytime, thanks.
Okay, Ian Brown, MLB.com. Again, he joins us. And we had Tom from Quincy on earlier. Talked about the Red Sox schedule coming up, and Ian went over the schedule of late. I want to go over that because when you take a real look at what the Red Sox schedule is, A, it's not going to let up for a little while, and B, some of those doormat teams aren't exactly doormat teams. I'll explain after Murray gets you caught up.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most of us, Keith Urban also has a bucket list. You may be surprised to learn what is and is not on his. Text Keith to 45911 to read and learn more about the central theme of Keith's bucket list. Get a link to the story sent right to your phone when you text Keith to 45911. Go inside country music at BackstageCountry.com.
The show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5, The Sports Hub.
As much as, you know, you can point a finger at anybody in this clubhouse, you can point it right at me too. So, like I said, we got to find a way to start winning games and get some zip back in us and start rolling some wins out. We're something away from being where we need to be. We just got to find that something. And whatever it is, where it is, on change of socks or frozen pizza, I don't know, but, you know, like I said, we just got to find a way. It's within reach. You know, it's not like we're out in the middle of the ocean. You know, we know what we got, and we've got a bunch of guys that can find a way to do it.
It's Chris Sale from Friday night. He lost 4-1. Easy to look at the Red Sox in that game and say, well, they didn't hit. Sale had a 1-0 lead. I'm sorry. Again, I'll say this till they put me in the ground or they do whatever with me. But this idea that, like, you know, you lose a 4-1 game and you say, well, you know, the pitcher did his job. No, he didn't. Not when you're Chris Sale, not when you're the ace. So, again, I pay him to win 4-1 games or 1-0 games or 2-1 games, not to lose them. That's the idea. Those guys, to me, are supposed to win when they don't get run support. That's why they make the money they make, because they're supposed to be dominant. And Sale had a lead. He got knocked around a little by the bottom of the order, and he gave up 3 runs, and they lost the game. And they didn't score again. Do you realize up until, let me get this right now, I think up until Sunday night, the Red Sox were 2-for-22 with runners in scoring position against the Yankees this year. And they were 2-for-14, they were 2-for-14 on Saturday, which means they had only had 8 at-bats with runners in scoring position against the Yankees in the first 3 games they played this year. 8 at-bats with runners in scoring position, which is pathetic. So, listen, I'm not here to defend the offense, but I'm telling you, Sale gets on the mound and has a 1-0 lead, find a way to win. I don't care how. Somebody somewhere there needs to, like, step up and say, this is enough, and go bananas. Because they're just plodding along at this extremely mediocre pace, and they're not going anywhere. Right now, they're out of the playoffs. Okay, so your wild card teams in the American League right now are Tampa Bay and, listen closely, Texas Rangers. The Texas Rangers right now are a wild card team. Yeah, but Maz, the Rangers will never keep it up. Are you sure the Red Sox are ever going to find it? In their last 6 series, the Red Sox are 1-4-1. 1-4-1. Those are series records now. Okay, and this goes back to, again, that critical stretch of games that we talked about that began with the series against the Houston Astros. The Red Sox lost 2 out of 3. Then they beat Toronto. But if you remember that series, that one wasn't pretty either. They lost a tough game to the, they got killed by the Blue Jays on one night, 10-3, and then had to go 13 innings to win the next. Ultimately, they got 3 out of 4 against the Blue Jays, but it was not exactly easy. Then the Astros came in, won 2 out of 3. Then the Indians came in, then they played the Indians, and the Indians won 2 out of 3. Then the Red Sox went to New York, and they lost 2 out of 3 again. They've lost 4 of the last 6 series. They've only won 1 of the last 6 series. And you want to sit here and tell me that they got a soft schedule coming up? And I'm not picking on Tom and Quincy. And his point was they have to beat up these bad teams. I just think you look at it and say, what are you?
Yeah, based on how they've played, you look at the 25 games they have in June. I see 12 completely winnable games against the likes of the Royals, Orioles, Jays, and White Sox. So 3-3-3-3 and 3-3-4 times. And then 13 competitive games. The Rays, I think, are for real. This Rangers team, I don't know, can I name a Texas Ranger? Probably not, but I saw they were like 10-2 in their last 12 home games, so they're at least real for now. 3 against the Twins, who I do think are real, and 2 against the Yankees. So it's not a complete cakewalk, but there is a lot of crap in there.
So I just look at the schedule coming up, and I say, this isn't as easy as you think. They get Kansas City for the next 3. Kansas City's the second worst team in the league. Only Baltimore is worst. So really, normally you'd say just take 2 out of 3. I want to see them sweep. I want to see him build some momentum.
They shouldn't lose to that wretched organization.
Kansas City, I think, is 19-40. 19-40. Okay, so that's a dog. I mean, that is a doormat team. Then they play Tampa Bay. That's no gimme. You get them for 4 games. They're better than you. Texas, you get them for 4 games. I have news for you. They're better than you, at least based on wins and losses. You have more talent. But again, at the end of the day, it's a results-oriented business. So then they get the Orioles. You say, great. The Orioles. So again, you should sweep. Those games are in Baltimore. Then the Twins, who are the best team in the league. So of the next 5 series, 3 of them are against playoff teams. That gets you towards the end of June. And at which point we're going to look up and say, what? What are you? Are the Red Sox going to be under 500 when we get to June 20th? Thursday, June 20th. Are they going to be under 500 still on June 20th? Or I shouldn't say still. They're only 1 game over right now. I am not sold on this team at all. They better get their asses in gear is what I'm telling you. They better get their asses in gear because it's going to be over soon if they don't. God, it's so irritating with this team. Ryan's in Dorchester. Go ahead, Ryan.
Hey, guys. Is it just me or is it? It seems like, and I don't think there's, you know, any excuse. I mean, for Sale's pitching, we seem like our bats just go cold every time he's on the mound. And it's something that I saw last year, and I kind of feel like this year it is too. And I know they got their ace in too against Sale, but like, I mean, we're the freaking World Series champs. Like, why aren't our bats going cold when our ace is on the mound?
So, Ryan, I am less worried about how they do with just Sale on the mound than I am about their approach overall. So you want to say with Sale on the mound, have they not scored? Probably. I haven't looked at the run support numbers. I don't know. You know, they lost 4-1. He had a 1-0 lead on Friday night. He had a 1-0 lead, and he blew it. And he blew it. And he had a chance to get out of it. He was facing a rundown Yankees lineup, and he gave up 3 runs and got smacked around a little bit. So I'm not gonna give the Red Sox lineup the grief when their ace is facing a decimated Yankees lineup and can't hold a lead, however slim it is. Don't give up a run. If they're not scoring for you, win 1-0. I don't want to hear the excuses with Chris Sale. Do you realize he has 1 win since, like, last August? I think he has 1 win since, like, last August. I mean, it's absurd, the fact that they don't win when he pitches and that he doesn't win. He's either hurt or easing his way into the season or whatever else. Mike's in Leominster. Go ahead, Mike.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call. Hey, you're spot on all of this. Great show. Couldn't agree with you more. You know, they're digging that deep hole early. They're just, you know, no room for error now. And I don't know. You know, if they were 4 or 5 games out at this point, you could say they're hanging around. But they're not. They're out of the playoffs. You know, they're 8.5 back. And, hey, it's been looking like the Yankees here. And unless things change here in the next few weeks, I just don't see them catching up or making the playoffs. Okay. I really don't.
So, Mike, I'm not even convinced that it is that they can't catch up. I told you, I like the Yankees this year going in because I felt like they had something to prove. And as we are learning, that makes a difference. Okay? But, man, you tell me they can't play better than this. 500 team. 500 team. Part of me, and I admit this is the sinister, sadistic side of me, part of me is hoping the Red Sox really bottom out in the next 2 weeks. Because you know what? It'll make it a hell of a lot easier for me come July 10th to say, you know what? Sell. Get rid of some pieces and get some players in your farm system, which sucks, by the way, because you need players in your farm system. Which brings me to the draft and the pick the Red Sox made last night in the first round. Matt McCarthy's a little bit of a minor league baseball geek, so I'm going to bring him in to help me out, but we'll get to him in the next segment. First, though, time for the Rodenheiser Heat Zone. Who's hot? Brought to you by our friends at Rodenheiser Plumbing, Heating, AC, and Electric. Xander Bogaerts. He's actually played well of late. He's one of the few. Last 13 games, .404 average, 11 extra base hits, 13 RBI, 16 runs scored. Bogaerts, he got the big contract. He's actually still playing. Bogaerts is producing. Everyone else, or feels that way, not so much. We'll look at that Red Sox draft pick next.
We have the Sox covered. The Baseball Reporters, 98.5.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. It's going to be a busy year for country superstar Jason Aldean. He's extended his Highway Desperado tour and is teaming up with Kid Rock for Rock the Country tour dates. We've ranked our top 5 Jason Aldean music videos. Text Jason to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Jason to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.
The Sox covered. This is the Baseball Reporters. Tony Mazzarotta, show that Red Sox Nation turns to first. 98.5, the Sports Hub.
This feels like as good a time as any to talk about the Red Sox and their future. MLB draft is going on. The Red Sox did not have a first-round pick. They had the number 43 overall selection last night. They took Cameron Cannon, a shortstop from Arizona. Okay? And he was a second-team All-American, batted .397. Again, the numbers in college are off the charts. Okay? Hit .397. It makes you think he's like, you know, the next 400 hitter, and he's going to have a career OPS of 1,000. Like, he's the next Chris Bryant. I don't know. Maybe he is. But in any case, 8 home runs, 29 doubles. He led Division I in doubles. Sounds like an offensive player. And, he's a shortstop, which I'll get to in a minute. But he's also a guy apparently who has no projected position in the major leagues.
Got a ready-made nickname, though.
Cannon?
The Cannon.
Yeah. Well, yeah, there you go. Yeah, until Tom Brady steals it and trademarks it to make some more hats and T-shirts, for crying out loud. But I don't know a lot about Cameron Cannon. I don't follow college baseball. I don't know many people who do. But Matt McCarthy, who does the Hardcore Baseball podcast here at 98.5, had an interesting perspective on this pick. So we're going to bring him in now to flap his gums about it, because we've tainted Matt and made him extremely negative. Boy, talk about taking a... Matt was one of the winners of the talent contest here, right? Was he the original winner?
The original winner, and look what you've done to me since.
Seriously, so you came in as this, like, bright-eyed, bushy-tailed sports fan, and we've turned you into, like, Adam Jones Part 2, Jones Jr. So what's your issue with the pick? Tell everyone. I love this.
Well, let me ask you this, and listen, I don't claim to know much about this or anything, but if you have the 43rd overall pick, Maz, are you going to take a guy who is ranked 94th on the Baseball America draft board? I don't know, a guy who should be going two rounds later than he actually went? That's a huge problem. You know, you look at the way that Dave Dombrowski has drafted over the last, well, this will be his fourth draft with the Red Sox. They have nothing to show for it. Nobody's made the big leagues. They barely have anybody in the top 100. And once again, it looks like the Red Sox whiffed on their first overall pick. You look at Tanner Houck 2 years ago. He hasn't done anything. Jay Groom is hurt. Another first pick for the Red Sox. And again, it was a second round pick because they went over the luxury tax. Another pick that looks like a total swing and miss for Dave Dombrowski and the Red Sox.
So again, you're going, has he made now four? Is this his fourth draft, Matt?
Yeah, this is his fourth draft.
Okay, so the first one, as you said, was Jay Groom.
Right.
Who's done nothing. Tanner Houck has done nothing. Last year was the fat kid who plays third base, right?
Right, exactly. And he got hurt 6 innings into his professional career and had a million strikeouts at the beginning of this year. So, yeah, that's him.
Is it Tristan Casas? Is that how you pronounce it?
I believe it's Casas. I've heard Casas. It doesn't matter because we'll probably never hear from the guy ever again.
Okay, and so what did you say? Say this again, that with the 43rd pick, they took a guy who was rated 94th by Baseball America on the prospect board?
Yep, that's right. That's right.
He's baseball Zach Senishin, then.
Oh, that's a great way to put it. Yeah, right. The Bruins took Zach Senishin, who wasn't even listed in, like, the first two rounds. They took him in the first round, the middle of the first.
They took him 15th. He was ranked, like, 45th overall at the time.
So you're very disappointed, Matt. Is that what you're telling me?
Yeah, and here's the thing, you know, and you can look into more of the inner workings of the draft, which are extraordinarily complicated. It's one of the million reasons why the baseball draft isn't huge. But the Red Sox, each team is given a cap as to how much they can spend on players, how much they can give out in signing bonuses. The Red Sox had the smallest cap entering this season because of the penalties that they had last year. Because their pick got moved back 10 slots, they had the smallest amount of money they could spend on any play, on the top 10 players in the draft, essentially. So what I think they did here, Tony, is because they had so little money to work with, again, through, you know, they have only themselves to blame, they felt like they needed to take a guy who's going to sign for less. That pick is slotted in at $1.7 million. This guy is not going to sign for $1.7 million because he's not worth that. They're going to get him for, what, $1.2, $1.3? They felt that they needed to save money on their first pick so they could spend it elsewhere in the draft, which you should. I mean, which you have to do. You have to spend money elsewhere in the draft. That's the way the baseball draft works. But because of the position that they put themselves in, they felt like they needed to go cheap on their first-round pick, or their second-round pick in this case, to spend elsewhere. So you get the 94th overall prospect at number 43 on the board because of the position that the Red Sox put themselves in.
Matt, what a great point. Really, I'm going to let you go just because we're up against it, but thank you for jumping in and sharing that.
Anytime, guys.
Okay, Matt McCarthy again on the draft. McCarthy's into that. I hate the baseball draft. I always hated it. Completely worthless. You don't know until what's going to happen 3 years down the road. Now, what I am sort of interested in is Dombrowski's history in the draft. The Red Sox are striking out more in the first round in the last 3 years than Bill Belichick is. Really. I mean, over and over again. They got nothing coming. And now so they have nothing in the system and they're taking gambles on guys? Like that, I don't get. I'm going to squeeze in one more call, but you have to be fast, Dave and Peabody. Go.
Hello?
Yes, Dave, go. You got to be fast.
Very fast. If they're going to be sellers, which I think they're going to be, who goes?
Okay, so Rick Porcello's an easy one. You'd move him in a second. And they will never do this, but if it were me, I'd put Mookie Betts out there and see what you can get. I would, because I'm not sure they can sign him. You tell me they can sign Mookie Betts, fine, keep him. But I'm not sure they can. The other thing is, you tell me, based on the year he's having right now, is Mookie Betts worth $35 million a year? Because I would say no. What's he hitting, 276? Good player. Was last year really what he is, or is last year the outlier? Because I think last year is the outlier. Before we get to Adam Jones, Big Y matchup of the game brought to you by Big Y World Class Market, serving the Massachusetts community for over 80 years. Red Sox are playing the Royals. Normally, I tell you this is a layup, but the Red Sox have had their heads jammed so far up their tails so far this year that I don't think anything's a given. Whit Merrifield of the Royals, 5-for-6 in his career against Eduardo Rodriguez. I like Merrifield, actually. He's a good little player. Again, 5-for-6 against E-Rod. The Royals have some guy pitching for him named Glenn Sparkman. I laugh just saying at it. Have you ever heard of this guy?
No, not until I've read his name in the headlines today.
The Sparkman. Yeah, they're facing the Sparkman. The Red Sox positional players, and I took Dustin Pedroia out because he's on the 60-day DL, 9-for-14 against this bum. 9-for-14. If you can't beat this bum, I'll sell tomorrow. I will sell tomorrow. You got to beat the crap out of this stuff. Ben Attendee's 2-for-2 against him. Betts is 2-for-3. Even Betts hits him. In his 275 season or whatever the hell he's doing on his way to his $35 million paycheck. I hate to tell you Red Sox fans this. He's a little overrated. He's overrated. More on that later this summer on the Baseball Reporters. We'll get to that later. Mookie isn't as good as you think he is. He's a good player. He's not a $35 million player.
He's Danton Heinen now?
Adam Jones coming together. The quiet one.
He's not that good.
Adam Jones is coming up at 7 o'clock. What do you got, Pac-Man?
Of course, Garrett Sparkman, related to Hall of Famer Sparky Anderson. Great-grandson of Sparky Anderson.
Of course, a third cousin of Trevor Sparks.
Glenn Sparkman. Yeah, I think he works in accounting downstairs.
Well, about two.
Sparkman.
And while you're doing voices, Jones, who scored a couple of goals for the Blues last night?
Oh, that was Ryan O'Reilly Auto Parts. A couple of goals for the Blues last night. Welcome to the series, Ryan O'Reilly. We're going to get to all things game four. Last night, new series for the Bruins. Craig Berube ruined the series, starting a big wine fest that Bruce Cassidy continued earlier today. And we're going to get to Zdeno Chara, his potential absence as well.
Okay, there you go. Jones and Christian Arcane coming up. Murray's Get Your Headlines. Everyone, will see you tomorrow.
BackstageCountry.com, your online home for all things country music. Like most fans of country music, we're excited to learn that Luke Combs was back in the studio working on his next album. We've come up with our list of iconic Luke Combs music videos. Yes, Lovin' On You made the cut. Text Luke to 45911 to see if your favorite made the list on BackstageCountry.com. Text Luke to 45911 and we'll send the link straight to your phone.